Hey, what up, people? Welcome back to another episode of Garage Media Junkies. Yes, episode 75. We're 25 from the 100. As you can see, today is just myself, your buddy, Hugh Mesa, and you're welcome again. Chris is, I think, in Utah, enjoying the snow and his lovely wife, Caroline. So shout out to them. Enjoy time, because sometimes it's hard, you know. Have, you know, just some time to enjoy yourself. We need it. Not everything is podcast or whatever we do here. So hi to them. And Sydney also, I think, is traveling. So same thing to Sydney. Enjoy it. They're going to be back. Don't get scared. I know without them, this podcast is nothing. You know, I don't have much to give to this podcast besides the equipment, right? Anyways, thank you again for another week of podcast. Last week also, we have certain things that, you know, came. I went to Mexico to visit family and stuff. So, yeah, these kind of things happens. And but whatever, we're here, we're back. We have little breaks. If you're being a guy or a girl that's been following us for a really long time, you know that we always have here and there breaks, but for the most part we're being straightforward, going every week with the podcast for like the last 2 years or so. So hopefully you keep enjoying it. If for the people there's in the podcast, like audio podcast in iTunes, Google Play, and also Stitcher, well, now we're on YouTube. So if you want to see our faces, you can go to YouTube and you're gonna see our faces, if that's a thing. I know a lot of you, and I know firsthand, because you let me know that you're in the traffic or stuff like that, and you enjoyed listen to us. And I think that there's a big chunk of the time that I listen to podcasts is for that reason. But anyways, let's jump to topics and stuff. Also, we have let's jump to the topic of today. Also, we have Instagram, official Instagram for Garage Media Junkies. So just go to Instagram, Garage Media Junkies, and you're going to find us there. Sometimes we're going to put some, you know, behind the scenes stuff, or like when we're setting up all these crap, or like live before the podcast start, or we start recording. And, you know, here and there, there's also in the channel, we have gameplays. We've been playing. You can go and check Chris React is like pure gold, Resident Evil 2, the remake. It's just lovely to see Chris suffering in a survival horror genre. We may some from time to time talk to like a movie that we watched that's really interesting to us. So anyways, it's just like some add-ups plus to the main thing, which is the podcast. So anyways, go there, enjoy us, share it to people that you think may be helpful for them, or like they will enjoy it. But anyways, just that. And today is a remix episode, as you know. If you don't know, the remix basically is, a mix of topics here and there, because, you know, we don't always have a specific topic in mind, and, you know, we just want to discuss several stuff. Why not, right? Anyways, but the main one, and the one that sadly Sydney and Chris are not here, I really want to discuss this topic with them, but eventually maybe they can just, you know, give their 5 cents on this. Is the Oscars. As you know, it's a big band for movies. It's the Academy. The biggest, not industry, or like the biggest thing for movies, I guess, around the world. You know, the last couple of years, I've been losing interest in this, not even contest, I guess just ceremony. Yeah, that's the word I was trying to find. This ceremony for movies and celebrate filmmaking and cinema. And more specific, I mean, let's be straightforward, American cinema for the most part. Even though they add a like international section. But whatever. You know, things like that keep being adding up until this year, finally, I felt like if there was like this minuscule interest on me to watch this thing, like it's gone. One, you know, some of the nominations are weird, but specifically talking Black Panther, and we talk about this the last podcast really briefly with Chris. That was the nail in the coffin. Like, that movie doesn't deserve to be nominated, and we know this. Like, every year there's movies like, what the fuck, and like, why you nominated this and not that, and you know, for the most part, always happen. But there's, you know, you notice there's certain balance between that. Black Panther, like, again, don't get me wrong, I watch it, like, cool, it's a Marvel movie, you know my stand, I'm tired of the fatigue of superhero movies at this point, but it's still, like, once, you know, I go and, like, whatever. I have a different mindset when I approach superhero movies for the most part. Means I don't expect much. I'm just going to go in with my inner child and sort of, like, cool, I see, you know, Black Panther in the silver screen, or I saw Captain America, you know, sort of just fulfill that craving as a grown-up that grew up with superhero and stuff, you know, see them in the movie and whatever. But from there to consider them, like, as this high cinema, which is what the Academy praises, right? Like, that's what they award, the excellence of filmmaking in all the sides, and not just visuals or storytelling, it's like as a whole. But yeah, it's just Black Panther was, like, weird, and I thought, like, yeah, I'm over. And also, I think, yeah, it's just this part of the Academy, I guess, is trying to appeal to a lot of people. You know, they try to bring more people because they know they are not receiving the attention they need. The ratings are going down. And another plus, if you don't know, Disney, to a certain extent, owned the Academy or owned the event in some way. So it was just meant to happen, but it's just disappointing the way it happened, right? So that was the first thing that was like, ah, fuck that, I'm over it. I'm not gonna, you know, really enjoy this thing anymore. But then this last week was a big buzz, and I'm glad that they thought about it and, like, okay, we screwed up, let's fix this problem. So what happened is they announced that they will cut four categories for the ceremony. So what they will want to do was, don't worry, we're gonna give you the awards, but it's gonna be in the commercial section. And that's like, fuck that, right? And then there were four categories. One of them, it was makeup. The other one, I forget what was the other one. But the two more important, at least to me in a way, was editing, best editing, and then also best cinematography. It's the fundamentals for filmmaking. And maybe it's me because I care a little bit more about, you know, that part of the process of making a movie. But it was like, are you kidding me? You're going to cut two categories, which is basically the foundation of what filmmaking is. You can take the music off. We have a time where music wasn't, or even voices or anything, there wasn't no sound in movies, and still they did something amazing with filmmaking. And then you're going to take editing too, which is like, you know, you put the puzzles together and finally you have a narrative, a cohesive narrative, and also a pace in the movie. They impact your, you know, your experience as an audience and as a consumer, or whatever you want to call yourself. But, you know, you're getting this information, you're getting this story, the storytelling through your eyes, and you know, big part of the impact of the movie is the editing. And you're telling me that you basically, you're cutting those two. Again, I'm not trying to, the other two categories, to like, whatever, makeup was also a big deal too, and still today it's a big deal. And you're just gonna put them in the shadow, like in the bag, because you want more fucking rating? I don't know, you know. And so I hear somebody said that at that point we're just making the MTV Movie Awards. And I sort of agree, you know. It's like you're trying to be old school and keep all these, like, codes, which I like that part. It's old, and I don't know, you know, like something doesn't work anymore, I guess, for a younger audience or new audiences. But then, like, they want to do this mixture that doesn't work. So just, like, for me, it's just decide what the heck you're going to do. You're going to make it a show, an entertainment show. Sure, I'm not against that. But, you know, then you're against all the stuff that you defend, or you're trying to portray to people. You're trying to say that you're, you know, we're, you know, it's a serious award for pursuing to praise the excellence in filmmaking, right? Sorry, you know, I'm trying to, like, think. Yeah, it's just so weird, and again, it's not the first time it's been happening, and they're just doing slight changes. They also claim that it's too long. You know, cut all the shit. Don't cut, feel like, cinematography and editing, really, like, you know? Yeah, I don't know. I think we're in a position, or like it's a time for the Academy to try to adjust to what's going on around. But again, like, it's been a couple of years that I don't even watch it. Like, I just check on my internet, like, you know, internet, who won or whatever. But, you know, it's different to me now. For other people, maybe even it's more important. It's just like, whatever, the Oscars, cool, right? Hopefully they will rethink their approach to new generation, but keeping the old, you know, their principles and for what this event exists, right? I think to a certain extent, yeah, it's important to keep it going. Again, I just think they're in a process to change and adjust to what's going on. There was another one that they will open a new category. That's like the contradiction. You know, you're telling me you don't have that much time, or like, sorry, it's too long, but then also you want to put another category. It was like the favorite people favorite movie or something like that, where people will vote and choose what was supposed to be the best movie from the audience perspective. So who knows? Maybe that happened. Maybe it's not as bad. Let's see what's going on. But for now, I'm not interested. I'm not going to watch it. I don't care. We may comment here one or two categories that I really care, like cinematography, for example, or editing, for example, and see what happened. You know, let us know in the comments what you think, if you like it or not. And now let's jump to the other section, which is related to video games. We have a lot this week with Nintendo, so let's go. And coming back to video games this week, we have Nintendo Direct for February, if you don't know. And it was like a punch in the face for all the gamers, especially the ones that are excited about Nintendo stuff, you know. It was sort of a mixture. There was a lot of rumors. They were talking about announcing a new Nintendo Switch, and then also, they were talking about the new Pokemon and, like, all these rumors, and I think none of them were real, if I remember. But also, Nintendo delivered quite an interesting thing. So, to start, Super Mario Maker 2, I never played it, but I know, you know what it's about, and also I saw somebody else playing the game. And basically, if you're not aware, it's just you have the opportunity to make Nintendo worlds, in a way, you know, from different versions of the games, like, I'm sleepy, but, you know, the games that go through the years, Nintendo 1, 2, Super Nintendo 3, Super Mario's, or whatever, world, and all this stuff. So you have basically the tools to create these worlds, and then you upload it to the cloud, and then people can download to their consoles and play those specific maps or official maps from Nintendo. It's an interesting concept, probably a lot of fun, and see some, a lot of weird stuff from people probably uploading and make it so difficult or fun, you know. I think it's cool. It's awesome they're making the number two. Sorry, I have my list here because, you know, my brain. Another one, Captain Toad Treasure Tracker has some new maps. It's an interesting game. I play a demo and I like it. it's kind of like a, it was a long time ago, a independent game called Fez that created a lot of buzz. And it was like this 3D world where you will turn the map to see the other angles, you know, to the other walls of the map, and you will rotate it and find new hidden places. So it's kind of like that. Nintendo smartly kind of not steal, just inspire from those mechanics and adapt it to this game for Captain Toad. It's another well-known character from Nintendo. From there, one of the big ones, the bomb probably of the Direct, was The Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening. I think this is a game from the Game Boy. I have just big memories of playing that game, and it was super fun because, and one of the big deals of that game was it was the Zelda you can bring in your Game Boy, like your portable, which wasn't super portable. It was like a huge brick, not even, yeah, it was way bigger than my iPhone. And but it was, you know, the closest thing we can have to portable games, and the fact that you can have the adventure of Link on the Nintendo, it was the Game Boy, sorry, Nintendo, the Game Boy. It was awesome. They're sort of remastering, I think. Well, we will see how they're going to treat this. It seems like it's a remaster because it's a change of style. It's a particular style, really plasticky, colorful. But it's kind of, you know, engaging. Like, it looks cool. Like, definitely I will want to play it. It has the old school gameplay style, where, you know, it's kind of like from the top part and you're seeing down, and like, you know, it's more contained. It's more like an old school platform in a way, and definitely not, you know, Breath of the Wild. Sorry again. Too late. I went to sleep too late. But it was going to be great. I think a lot of people is going to enjoy this gesture from Nintendo. Something that I wasn't expecting, to be honest. I mean, I have in my head something else, like some other stuff that will come in the Nintendo Direct. But this is cool. This is really cool, I think. A lot of people is going to enjoy. We also have Bloodstained: Ritual of the Night, which is the spiritual, because now they call it like that. I don't know if it's true or not, or that's the correct term. That's how they call it, the spiritual remake or the spiritual follow-up of Castlevania. I think the creator is involved in this. They did a Kickstarter campaign. They hit the mark. And now they're going to start delivering. And one of the consoles there's coming in is a Nintendo Switch. And it looks awesome. Looks old school, but with new 3D graphics. But still you have that feel of Castlevania, of the levels, and, you know, going side to side and try to figure it out how to get to the boss and stuff. And, you know, it has that also the design part, you know, the monsters, the characters. I think it's going to be a solid game for Nintendo Switch, and not just for Nintendo Switch. From my understanding, it's also coming to the other consoles and maybe PC. So that's great to have. Another big thing that a lot of people get excited was Tetris 99, which is sort of a, it's kind of cool because everybody's joking this is a real Battle Royale. Basically, you hook your console to the online service and you go to the game and you play against 98 other players in real time at the same time. And it seems like it's a perfect game to stream and have a madness, you know, what will be like a madness thing in the screen, you know, so many effects going on. Not that crazy, but you have the other players on the side, so you have the main board, your board of Tetris, and then on the side there are the other players, I guess. So I think it's cool. Tetris is like the ultimate old school game, like everybody like it. You always go back and you can toss it away and then like on board, all right, let's play some Tetris, you know. Something that even like somebody like my wife doesn't love games that much, definitely she's hooked on Tetris. So I may get that for her. That will be a good excuse to get my Nintendo Switch back, because I sold it and now I'm like, I kind of want it back. And that will be a good, it's like the Trojan horse for my wife. Oh yeah, it comes with Tetris, you want it? The big announcement that everybody was talking, and it was for real, is Fire Emblem. I personally don't know much about the franchise, but I know it's really popular. So it's great that Nintendo's keep following up, you know, some of their IPs and try to not let them, the other fans, you know, try to cater to all the Nintendo fans or their franchise fans. Hellblade: Senua's Sacrifice. I have it on PC. I'm going to play, and soon I'm going to do a gameplay for our YouTube channel, so stay tuned for that, just to, you know, experience, like, the first hours. But it's so great that a game of this caliber is going to Nintendo Switch. And by that, I mean it's an indie game that looks like a AAA. It probably lacks a few things. Again, I'm not super experienced with the game. I haven't played yet, but try to research as much as possible. And it's so great that, you know, Nintendo's tried to, like, you know, let's bring these games. And that's it so far. We have Final Fantasy 9 and 7, Yoshi Craft World. But that's are the, like, the main big ones, the main games that everybody was hoping for. And I think it was a great Nintendo Direct. It was pretty solid. And it's not going to be strange if we see way more stuff down the line from Nintendo. They're supposed to announce Pokemon, the new 8th generation Pokemon for this year. Definitely not Metroid. They recently came out and said that the game wasn't going up to their standards and they reset everything. A lot of people get like, why are you doing that? Me personally, it's like I'd rather they are being honest with their consumers, in that case, me to a certain extent. And, you know, tell you just straight to your face, you know, this was shit. We knew that, you know, it's not what we're looking for. We are going to try to give you the best we can. Like, that's what you want from a company, you know, that you're going to throw at least $60 for the game, which is a lot of money. Don't tell me it's not. But yeah, there's not a lot of companies that will come out and tell you straight, we made a mistake. We're going to deliver. So appreciate that. But that's all for the Nintendo Switch Direct, or Nintendo Direct for this week. Stay tuned for more stuff from Nintendo. And now I want to talk about a few trailers that I checked recently, and they caught my attention. So let's go to the trailers. And there's two trailers that I want to, you know, sort of discuss, which is Velvet Buzzsaw, I think. This new Netflix kind of sort of movie. There's a lot of that I like of the movie. Again, we discussed before that I like movies where, you know, they're a little bit out of the convention. The cool thing is the casting is really amazing. Let me see again. Brain's getting old, but I try to have, you know, my notes and my phone around. We have Jake Gyllenhaal, Rian Russo, Zoe Ashton. Hopefully I'm saying it right because my accent. Sorry, guys. Tom Sturridge, Toni Collette, Natalia Dyer, David Deeks, John Malkovich, Billy Magnussen. And those are just a few of the people in this cast. You, by the names, you can tell it's a solid cast. There's talented people involved in this movie. And the director is Dan Gilroy, which he directed Nightcrawler and Roman J. Israel. Pretty solid movies on my point of view, especially Nightcrawler was awesome. I enjoyed it so much. And this is a new movie of more like a thriller, more than suspense thriller, more than horror, where, you know, involved with art and museum. And I think it's trying to make a satire of all these high-end art and stuff or today's, you know, where I think we discussed it here before, where there are some weird stuff. Like, oh yeah, let's put like a fucking cup with water, half water, and then just put them in the museum, and like, ooh, that's art. Again, it's art that's really hard to, at least for me, to convey not an opinion, but like, try to figure out what really people are looking into all art these days. There's a lot of theories that it's more people with a lot of money that they need for unique art. It's bigger than other times, so that's the reason suddenly these people come up and like, oh yeah, let's put like like I said, water with, you know, the cup of water half full, and like, yeah, it's like they try to explain you all these things, but you, when you watch this, like, what the fuck is that? It's just like a glass with some water in there. I can do that, you know. Again, everybody has their opinion. If you think that's like, yeah, that's art and whatever, fine for you. For my point of view, it's like, it's more like bullshit, to be honest. It's like, it doesn't tell me anything, really. At least if I'm going to put a sort of a standard or like a line to follow when I talk to artists, like, the thing needs to tell me something. And a glass with just water there doesn't tell me a fuck at all. So again, seems like that's like the team that these directors trying to do with this movie, and involve some horror in there. I don't want to spoil that much. I think to a certain extent maybe they spoil a little bit in the trailer, but it's not surprising these days everybody does that. But out of a lot of movies, this is so great. It's on Netflix now. By the time I saw the trailer, I wait too much to talk about this, so now it's officially on Netflix, and you can go and watch it. I'm probably gonna watch it soon, and maybe I give you some impressions of the movie in another video or something. Again, go to the YouTube channel. There's stuff there that we're not gonna put in a podcast kind of format. It's harder, but anyways, you can go there and check it out. And the other one, it's John Wick 3. A lot, I think it's going to come to a first circle. This is the last one so far. There's no new of more stuff unless they, you know, make a lot of money and they're going to try to make some spin-off or some shit like that, which if they do it right, I'm open to. But finally, you know, this is the final story of Keanu Reeves, or his character, John Wick. And seems like now this time he's alone. Like in number two, he still had some allies to help him out, but in this third one is like all against me, and I think that's in the trailer, you know. I will go against the world, something like that, or against everybody. And it's more of the same. You're gonna know a little bit more of these organizations, which has never been the core topic of these movies. It's just like there's hints that these things exist. It's like a group of assassins or like super fancy exclusive groups where you can hire these assassins and stuff like that. And now he become the public enemy number one for this group. So we will see a lot of action, a lot of pack. I'm just really excited to see it. I think I already said it before, John Wick, they definitely put a stamp on action movies and how you should do action movies. Some of the sequences, the action sequences are superb. The cinematography is so great. The story is basic, but like works really great. They don't try to put too much, you know, because they know that these movies, just that, is just a fun action movie. Well made for sure, but you know, they're not trying to make these convoluted storytelling around this. It's just bad guy, anti-hero. He has a problem. And he gets pissed, and it's going to kick ass. So I like it. Let's see what happened with that. And I think for today, I know it's short, but, you know, I'm by myself. It's hard to come up with words, a lot of words. No, but it's hard to, you know, have convey this conversation, just, you know, you and me, but I try my best. So from now, let's jump to what I'm being watching recently. I think last week I already told you that I've been playing Resident Evil Remake, and it's an awesome game in so many ways. It's a standard for remakes, and I'm glad Capcom did something like that. I watched recently, yeah, this is a good one. Make you a favor, and I know it's hard because this TV series is not everywhere, but if you have HBO Go or now, go and watch True Detective Season 3. It's been so amazing for me, at least. I'm being a fan of the series since number one. I watched number one. It was like awesome. It was like great, and I keep saying it, that was like a pinnacle in Matthew McConaughey career. I think after that is when he started getting all these roles and like Academy winning and nominations and stuff, because he does a great job. It's just so amazing, the story. And also, like, I'm biased towards thrillers and stuff like that, you know, detectives, and like, and also they put this element of like mystery in there that's never explained really, but doesn't matter. It's just, it's a great add-on to the Matthew McConaughey character, and it's great. Now, the second one was kind of okay. Was Colin Farrell and Vince Vaughn, I think. They were the main, you know, characters in there. And they tried to do the same, but I don't know. I think it was rush. And actually, that was one of the problems. It was rush. But I think the main problem is, like, some of those elements of mystery and thriller kind of went away. At the end of the season, kind of come back a little bit, but for the most part, it was more like a gang kind of thing, which the first one wasn't never that. And then this third one is so great. We have Ali Marcella. Hopefully, I'm saying it right. If not, you can just bust me in the comments. But he's another great actor that is becoming better and better at all the roles he does. He was recently in Alita: Battle Angel, Moonlight. Like, he has tons of work. It's amazing. But he definitely shines in these third season of True Detective. It's so great. His cinematography is awesome. Is it as great as season one? I think it's just a little bit lower than season first. But still, they deliver. They deliver, and I'm hooked. And they smartly, in a way, link what's going on in season three and season one. Just a hint. It's never like, oh, yes, this big crossover. Just they establish the people there's behind this kind of cult thing. It's like, you know, they're in different cities, and it's a bigger organization, super underground, nobody knows. But it's cool that they just, like, sort of hint season one characters and storyline with this one. And yeah, I think it's great. It's just visually, it's astounding. Storytelling is great. The acting is awesome. Great, great cast. And there you go. I think this next weekend is gonna be the final season finale. So you have all the week to catch up, and then, you know, jump in before HBO release Game of Thrones in April, which is almost here. So, anyways, and the other thing that I watch, talking about Ali, it's Alita: Battle Angel. It's pretty kind of hard, but I think visually it's outstanding. The job that he did to try to adapt it was great. It's one of those things where, especially with anime, it's really hard to make the translation, I think, just because graphically, and again, I'm not going to go into what's better, you know, comics or anime, but the anime has this certain really particular style that I think is still, they're trying to figure it out how to translate to the movies. I think Robert Rodriguez and James Cameron did a great job trying to do it, but I don't think they deliver. And the reason I don't deliver, and I think I watched an interview with James Cameron where he was talking like about the process of getting the rights and bring this anime to the, you know, silver screen, was he was one of the key, I think, was the, he said that it was too graphical. The anime was too graphical and gory to translate to the movies, and then he won a PG-13. I think that's when one of the main problems of all these, like, translations between formats to the movie making, it's that you don't compromise a vision that much. Like, you don't push and change one of the core parts of the anime, because anime has a language and it's coming from a different culture, and they see things a different way. And the fact that Jim's camera's like, oh yes, gory, and it's like, well, that's, you know, that was the intention. Is the intention, it's a main part of the journey of this character, you know. And the fact that they make it look super young and innocent, and then suddenly it's like this a big killing machine, which again, they do sort of a good job trying to bring those and tone it down. But at least for me, it's like, I don't want a toned down version. I don't want a diluted version. I want to sort of get from the movie, from the anime, like what I got when I see it. Ghost in the Shell is another example. I think they do a great job visually and all this stuff, but still there's pieces when they translate these to the movie language that doesn't quite, they don't get it. And you know, it's normal. I mean, yeah, sure, like something, I think about something like Evangelion is gonna be really hard to make a script and translate to the movies. Even they already redone endings and OVAs and all these stuff. It's just so many stuff to pack in 2 hours that for me, for example, I would rather to get Alita Battle Angel, the TV series, where you have time to explore so many topics and they need to be addressed for sure to work. Again, just from my side, I think if you like, you know, good visual effects, and they have tremendous sequence actions in there, you're gonna have fun. Don't expect, if you're a fan of Alita Battle Angel, don't go and just think that you're gonna get it. Or maybe, yeah, you get it. Also, there are some inconsistency in the stories, some weird stuff that contradict itself. They introduce you certain elements and then like suddenly like they don't work or something like that. So it's not bad. It's just, and even if you think as I'm talking about as a movie, you know, I'm trying to take the anime element on the side. Yeah, it's not that solid. It just doesn't hold that great. But I have fun watching, you know, all this universe created and the visual effects and the action scenes. Yeah, for sure. And the last thing that I can say, I don't think Robert Rodriguez was the, I mean, I love Robert Rodriguez a lot. I love what he's done. It's a big influence on my filmmaking career. At some point, maybe I can say it more clearly when I have more work to show, right? But he's one of those guys that is being a little bit overlooked, like just because he didn't win any Oscars or select label. I think he done a great job doing what he want to watch and what kind of movies he want to be people to see. But I don't think he was the right choice for this particular story. But, you know, again, that's my opinion. That's my thought. Like, it doesn't mean it's right or wrong. Maybe he was. I don't know. I'm not that expert. I'm not an authorized voice to really say that, I guess, or like have any confirmation of that. But that was just what I watched and what I think was a little Battle Angel. What else? I think that's it. That's it for this week, guys. I really enjoy talking to you. You. Bang, bang, baby. Now, I'm real happy to have this conversation with you guys. Well, not even conversation. You guys are not answering me back. But you can if you comment down in the comment section and you recommend, and we have a conversation back and forward. Yeah, why not? We can have some wine, we can have some nice French dinner, you know, have these talks. Anyways, let's finish this before I start, you know, talking nonsense as always. Remember, we have the Instagram Garage Media Junkies. You can add me at my Instagram, Hugo Mesa Soto. You also can add Sydney on Instagram, SJ Stevens. Chris is on Facebook, I think. You can, you know, find him in there as Chris Espinoza, or you can go to the Xbox Live. His Xbox ID is Cephaline. All the information is down in the comment section or in the podcast info or details. And that's it. Remember, hashtag Halos. Take a shower always after sex, before, and if you like, even in between, why not? And enjoy the content. Go to the YouTube channels because we have content is not at any other place but the YouTube channels. Help us to grow and to keep bringing this content to you. And that's it. And soon we're going to work on bringing more guests. I know those are pretty interesting to have. And let us know what you think. Let us know topics that we can talk about it. Let us know how we can improve this content for you. It's just a pleasure. And that's it, guys. Diego Luna, fuck you. Poor guy. He doesn't deserve that. The guy's sweetheart. I like him. It's just a joke, guys. Don't take it seriously. We don't have nothing against Diego Luna at this point. It's just an internal gag here. That's it. Have a great week, guys. To the next one.